God to work with somebody else. Lord, use them. But He wants to use you.
Amen.
He wants to work in us. He'll do it, won't He?
Yes.
He sure will. Mm-hmm. Amen. We've been blessed this week.
Right.
Down at the prison. Preaching, and mostly hearing preaching. Amen. Thank God for it. One of them was preaching the other night. They scattered abroad. You know what they did when they got scattered? Everywhere they went and preaching the word.
Yeah.
Persecution comes. You know what it made them do? Just preach more.
Right.
Sure did. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to ask Brother Mike to come and share with us what God's doing in the... I've had people this week say, what is a Rock Asian prison ministry? So I told them what little I knew about it. I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I know they're going to prisons all over the country. Not only just this country, but in foreign countries too. And going into lots of them.
Right.
And it's very needful. You know what one of the officers told us the other night down there? Brother Gary, he said, y'all helping us. He said, this is helping us. And you know what? We make the job a lot easier when we get a bunch of them converted.
Amen.
Amen. Because that brand new life starts. That new life in Christ. It sure does. Thank God for it. Come on, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to wire you up and you get through, I'll come back.
All right, it's such a blessing to be here. I was headed home this morning, amen, but it was good to be invited, amen. I was telling Brother Donnie and Brother Larry last night, I said, Brother, I don't want to wear my welcome out. I said, I'm headed home, but it's good to be invited, amen. And I certainly appreciate the men and the people here not only support me financially, But you're doing it on your own because the Lord sent you over there. But it's such a blessing to see you folk over in prison taking the greatest news that has ever been brought down to mankind. Let me just share a little bit about what we do. And let me just back up a little bit. Now, it was his time to preach. When was that, Thursday night, Brother? Friday night? I don't know what night it was. Friday night, and I wasn't about to stop. I mean, the Lord was all over that. Like, I tell you what, that. But when he stopped, it was 5 minutes till it was time to leave. So don't feel bad, brother, about having me up here because of that, okay? Now, it was his night anyway. I was just going to take up the slack because he said he wasn't going to preach long. But, brother, the Lord got all over that. That was, man, I'm telling you, that was good. Amen. Whatever little bit I had, Lord told me to put it up and wait till you finish. But anyway, make a long story short, let me share a little bit about our ministry, and I'll take just a few minutes. I'd like to hear you preach again today as well. But let me share with you, our ministry started in 1978 with just a tape ministry and a little cassette ministry down in Stark, Florida. And an officer was taking the tapes in to the inmates to hear, you know. And so these inmates wanted to hear, they wanted to see some physical bodies. And that's when Dr. Garris, he was a pastor down in Stark, Florida at the time in that particular area, and him, Brother Blue, Ed Blue, right? Yeah, and they started going down. That's where it started. It started in this state of Florida, back in 1978. And then since then, it started out with two men, and now we have 140 missionaries. That's in four continents, and we're all in every state here in the United States. We're in every state, whether it's our Prison Bible Institute or we have revival teams. People are calling in. We have chaplains. I have 20. Actually, I can tell you how many chaplains that I'm over in the Southeast. We have 22 chaplains, and they serve something like pastors into the prisons. And so, to me, that's the bulk of the ministry. They're there every day, and to see the needs of these people, see them saved, being able to follow up after the revival team comes through, and et cetera. Now, my ministry, I'm into 11 states. I'm the Southeastern Director. I'm over the chaplains in that area, whether the juvenile going to the public schools or the adult female facilities. They're over in the prison facility. We're over 490,000 inmates that are involved, okay? In schools, it takes right about 23,000 schools that we're involved in, okay? And so even in the school system, we're not allowed to give an invitation, but we arouse their curiosity. You know, tell them not, they don't do this, don't do, they know they can't do it. Put a lot of law on them. And they'll come to you and say, we can't do it, and we show them how to through Christ. And not only that, we have to have their parents' consent that we can come by and visit them. So not only we visit them with the students in school, they invite us in their household, and guess what? Now we're looking at the entire family.
Amen.
Y'all understand that? And so that's what we're doing there. Now, in the prisons, let me share with you why it's so unique what you people are doing, okay? We're trying to implement this in every state, every country that we're in. We're trying to get local churches,
yes, sir,
on a weekly basis or whatever, monthly basis or whatever, to go into these institutions with the truth. You know, in and every, everything in there, okay? Religion, I put it that way. Every type of religion in there. I don't know if you know that there's 113 different type of religion in the state of Florida. Some you can't even name. Some I can't. Bro, you was talking about pronouncing name this morning. There's some names, a religion name I can't even pronounce. You just come up with something, you can get it in there, okay? If you got a teacher to teach it or whatever. And so what we're trying to do, we're trying to implement churches, you know, get them into each prison, etc. We got actually we got five in my hometown are going to different prisons. Of course, from my hometown to here on the other side of Monticello, there's about 23, Gary, you help me if I'm wrong, 23, 25 state prisons within that region there, okay? And we don't call it Region 1 anymore. I guess it's the, what is it, North region. And there's a lot of prisons in there. So what we're trying to do in each state, and matter of fact, it's been implemented in Romania. It's been implemented in Lithuania. Matter of fact, we got a guy right now dealing with Muslims in Muslim countries, you know, where, matter of fact, we got put out of one place here because one Muslim got converted, amen, to Christianity, and they found out about it. Now they're moving us off of the property, you know, moving us out of the area. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to implement that in every situation there because I like what took place last week. We didn't see that many saved, but praise the Lord. We see a lot more Christians now. And if we get the Christians on fire, what they need to do, that's their mission field. And we'll see more souls come to the saving of our Lord Jesus Christ that way. And so praise God for the good Bible-believing churches that are into the prisons doing that. And so that's what we're doing. I have about, I would say about 19 churches now that are involved. But we need hundreds of churches. Matter of fact, thousands of churches involved. And so you pray for that. That's basically what we're doing. You are doing exactly what I'm trying to implement into the other states and all. And not only that, our international director, he picked up on it. And I have a lesson I teach on how to recruit volunteers and et cetera, and how to, you know, how to go into prison and how to get into prison, et cetera. So some of these churches is a little different from you folk. You know, y'all can just walk in. I understand that. But it's a little different from others. Other places, I have to go to the chaplain or go to the warden and get the doors open for those local churches. Now, you pray that they're faithful. You know, I have some that are very faithful. Matter of fact, I have a church over in Locksley, Alabama, you know, go to prison there. And every other Sunday, they average about 14 inmates in their church. 14. Now this is going to astound you. Now, this guy, this one of the guys in more of a work camp. What the warden gave him permission, which the warden is a Christian, gave this guy permission, okay, to, after church, to take the pastor. Actually, his family came down, and the whole family. Now, let me back up. Not only the inmates coming, they're bringing their families. So when the families come on a Saturday for visitation, they stay over Sunday, and they go to church with their families. And matter of fact, some of these guys were so on fire for the Lord. You ready for this? Now, this never happened that I know of. They won an officer to the Lord. And he came to church. that's the testimony. You know what I'm saying? Of these guys, get them on fire for the Lord. Amen. And challenging for the word of God. And so that's what's happening. And so this guy was able to have his wife and family. And after church, you know, they have to go back to prison. But this warden allowed him to take the pastor and his wife out to eat that day. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
And so, praise the Lord. So that's basically what we're doing. We're on the military basis, federal institutions. We're in every aspect of the prisons, okay? Matter of fact, we're on college campuses too, okay?
Right.
Now, the college campuses don't allow us to go in and preach, but we can stand out the side, you know, the perimeter there, and we pass out gospel tracts. Now, notice, we don't pass out no tracts but English. Because when we've seen about 70 different countries over here, different states, different countries and different prisons, colleges. Now, you know when they come over here, especially a lot of Chinese, you know when they come over here, the first thing they learn? They learn English.
Yeah.
So we don't have to prepare them. Now, y'all ready for this? We're reaching the entire world right here in the United States.
Amen.
And when they come over, they're not the poor ones. Now, these people are well-to-do people. So when they go over back home, you understand? They dealing with some high officials. And when they come back home with the Lord, guess what? Things going to happen over there.
Amen.
And so praise the Lord. I want you to know this is what your support is doing. Okay, your prayers are doing. And that's exactly what's going on. So if you want to know more about this, there's a whole lot about the ministry, but that's what we do. We primarily in prison, but we're in the schools and the colleges. Matter of fact, we have a man go on whenever we go to prison. Anytime we get a break, you know what he does? He goes hit the streets, hit all the homeless. So we got to minister to the homeless people. He goes and gets socks and, you know, the necessary things that they need and preach the gospel to them. We only saw about 14 saved this year, but guess what? They're saved now. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. So that's basically what your support and your prayer is doing here. Okay. All right, I'm going to take just a minute, okay, brother? All right, just a minute here, please. I'm not going to, I'm not, okay? I'm not going to take off. I have something to pick on him about now, amen? But really, this, I will say this once again. I appreciate Brother Ike preaching. Brother Murphy and Brother, I appreciate you guys going over to, and I know you're going over because the Lord sent you over there. I know that. But it's such a blessing to see these guys come in, the Christians, and you can help and challenge, encourage them to go out there on that yard, you know, and see others come. Only people we can deal with is those that come in the chapel. Now, occasionally, which it rained yesterday, but the doors was open to go out on the yard, but the rain prohibited us to do that. But one day, you can't handle the thousands over there in one day. But guess what? You get them on charged up for the Lord and get them rooted and grounded in the Word of God, they see these people on a daily basis. So praise the Lord. We appreciate what you all are doing. If you take your Bibles just for a few minutes, I just want to just challenge you on some things here and really challenge my heart as well in this matter of prayer. In this matter of prayer, you know. And listen, we all need prayer, don't we? We all need it. And let's just look at Matthew chapter 6 just for a minute here, and then we'll look at a few more, and then we'll be done. Brother, I certainly appreciate the Sunday school class this morning. I believe I was right. I'm the right place, the right time. That was good this morning. That was well prepared. I want you to know that, and I really appreciate that. Okay, I appreciate the prison part too. Amen. I really appreciate that, and all the names and all that. That was really good this morning. I want you to know God had me right where I needed to be this morning to hear that. That was good. That was really good. I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what the Lord says, and we're just going to pick up. I'm not going to read the whole entire passage of Scripture, but I want to read some things, and I want you to catch a few words, catch a phrase here as we look at it. And the Bible says in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord said, "But when thou prayest," there's a comma right there. Now, we are, as Christians today, this is our responsibility. God expects us to pray. That's expected. That's our responsibility. That's a done deal. But notice he said, when. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as what? The hypocrites are. Now, so what he's telling us? He's telling us we ought to be different in our prayer life. He's teaching us, be different. Don't be like them. Don't be like others. And then he goes on and tell them, notice what he says here about them, but I'm going to give you something a little different application. He said, for they love to be pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, notice, let me share something with them that they do, even though they're hypocrites, but they do pray. Now, I'm not even saying they pray or get through. I'm just saying, but he's saying they do pray. And see, so all I'm saying now, here's our hypocritical part, when we don't pray.
So
he's saying, don't be as them. He didn't say they didn't pray. He said they did pray, but they prayed for the wrong reason, to be seen of men and etc. But then he tell us, but when thou prayest, don't be like them. Now notice, the hypocritical part is when we don't pray. Notice what else he says here. Look at verse 6. But thou, what's the next three words again? When thou prayest, he said, enter into a closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Now notice verse 7. Verse 7 said what? But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do. He didn't say the heathen didn't pray either, did he? He just said, just don't be like them. Now, I'm not saying they got through, but they did pray. Heathen, a lost person. I prayed, but I didn't get through. Only when I asked him to save me, man, I got through then. But y'all understand what he's saying here. It's very important, and I'm talking to Mike Kelly too, it's very important that we pray.
Amen.
But he's telling us, he's not saying that. Now, don't be like them. See, they don't pray. He didn't say that. He said they prayed. But how they prayed was wrong. And right, they was outside of God when they prayed. We understand that. But they did pray. So I'm telling you today that God expects us to pray.
Amen.
Y'all understand that. Now, let's look at, let's see here. Let's look at, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, because I want to get out of the way here. Just want to challenge you a little bit on this. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I just want to challenge you on this, on the word here, pray. So we see we are expected to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And without turning there, you know, in Luke chapter 18, 1, he said, men ought to what? Always pray and what? Faint not. That's right. Not faint, not give up. Continue to pray.
Amen.
Now notice what Paul says here in chapter 5 here, and I just pick up verse 17. Notice he says, pray just three words. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now it doesn't mean that I'm just praying. That's not what it means here. But you ready for this? Now, our prayer life, notice Jesus Christ said when. Now, whatever time you decide to pray, you ready for this? Nothing shall take the place of the time when you pray.
Amen.
See, sometimes we get cluttered up with different things. Y'all understand that? And there's a point in time. Now, I just mentioned it. I like getting up 5 o'clock. I like praying at first when I'm fresh, up early in the morning, try to get things before I get my day done, before I get into the day. Because so he's saying prayer without ceasing. Now he's saying that at any appointed time that you ought to pray. Now let me help you with something here. Why he said pray without ceasing? God wants you to understand, here's the key here, that he wants you to have a constant awareness of the need of God, whatever you do.
Amen.
That's prayer without ceasing. That's the attitude of prayer. Look, I can't do nothing without you. And he said it, without him, you can't do nothing. And here's the hypocritical part. Let's be careful when we forget to pray. When things happen, then we decide to pray. That's hypocritical.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's hypocritical. See, we ought to always pray all the time. And Peter and Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he's talking about pray constantly. Continue.
Right.
Continue in prayer. And all he's saying here, have that constant awareness of the presence of God. Not only the presence of God, but the need of God. I'm dependent on God in everything that I do.
That's it.
And that's what he's saying. See, a lot of times we do things and expect God to bless it. God said, you didn't come to me first about that.
Sister here mentioned traveling mercies. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know about that prayer. A lot of things that could have happened to me that did not happen. Because I knew people was praying while I was on that road. And we travel a lot. Matter of fact, coming to the prison yesterday, I was talking to my daughter and hit a puddle of water. And that my car just dropped. I mean, it's almost a hydroplane over. And I said, whoa, man, somebody got to be praying. Man, it almost took me over in the woods somewhere, brother. And I was doing about 60 or 70 miles there. You know, people praying. And I see the importance of prayer. Amen. And not only that, so let me give you something else here. Turn to Daniel. If you turn to Daniel, right quick. Daniel chapter 6. And look at Daniel here. And look what Daniel does here. And you all know the story. I don't have to, I'm not preaching, so I'm not elaborating on a whole lot of things here. But Daniel, you know, they signed a decree against Daniel. They want to stop his prayer. They want to pray to the king only, and etc. Now notice what it says here in verse 10. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew all the things took place, knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees, how many times a day?
Three times a day,
and prayed, and gave thanks before God. Now, hit me with the next four words. As he did what? He was doing that anyway. Listen, there was troubles about to come, wasn't it? Huh? There was some, he's about to get thrown into the den of lions. Right? But guess what? Daniel say, I've been praying to God all the time.
Yes.
Ain't nothing new to me. Hey, whatever take place, I'm ready.
Amen.
Why? Because he prayed up all the time. Y'all see that? So I understand what I'm saying here. So you see the word continually? You see the word pray without ceasing? Y'all see what I'm saying? Daniel said, this is my point of time. I did this all the time. And we look at David. Guess what? David prayed 7 times a day. If you see in Psalm 119 there, I think 164 somewhere up in there, he prayed 7 times a day. And all I'm saying, you know what? When things come up against you, when things happen, don't be foreign to God. And so you pray without ceasing. Guess what? You're still in the presence of God. And you have that constant awareness of God at all times. You ain't got to come to him in emergency. Y'all understand? Urgent. All of a sudden, now you want to. Oh, boy. All of a sudden, you're aware of him. But he said, no. Daniel said, hey, listen. And the Bible said, guess what? He did that anyway. So when troubles come, guess what? You're already praying. Boy, isn't that somewhere you can come to God? You ain't coming to him as no stranger now, okay? Because you've been distant off. Because you lack in prayer. You see, you cause things to take place. You understand? Sometimes we get in a hurry and all these things, and we forget to pray.
That's it.
We do. You know, and if time get by you, and I'm not boasting. Please, this morning, I had a certain, we're going to leave a certain time, and brother, I got in my Bible, I got a friend, I listen. Wow, man, boy, where the time gone? Now, if the time go, it's going to be gone because I'm reading my Bible, okay? I'm praying. You understand? It ain't going to be because I'm doing something else. Something else got to clutter up my mind and get God out the picture. And God is saying here, I want you to constantly depend on me for everything.
Exactly.
And that's what praying without ceasing is all about. Now, guess what? He wants us to be different. Don't be as they are. You understand? He said, but when thou prayest, he expect us to pray. So he expects us what? To depend on him. Now, notice why I'm praying without ceasing. Why? Because I know God is all my sufficiencies. All my sufficiencies come from him. All the source, everything I need comes from him. Isn't that something? Boy, isn't that something? When we acknowledge that, and when things do happen, and I know there's sickness, I know a lot of things take place, but boy, it sure wouldn't be in an urgent situation. Right? But all of a sudden, you're trying your best. First of all, you got to come to God. And I try to do it every day because I know sometime a day there's going to be some sin take place. You know, I love 1 John 1:9. I have to use it all the time, brother. but you understand, isn't there something where you can have that close communion,
yes, sir,
that fellowship with God, where you don't have to, you know, be in a backslide, you're trying to get back in. You understand, back in fellowship with them, for them to help you with your prayer. Isn't that something when we're already right with him like we should be? Isn't that something that we have the Spirit of God to keep us right if we want to do things right? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? 1 John 1:9, we confessed our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that something? Isn't it good when you can do that on a daily basis? Because I'll tell you something, you go one day without that, something wrong. Now, let's y'all way better than I am. Amen. If you can get by one day from 1 John 1:9, I would say you've gone to glory. Huh? Because your thought life's something going to get you throughout the day. Huh? I praise the Lord is there. Amen, brother. I praise the Lord was there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for these ministries you've given us. Father, I do thank you so much for this church, Lord, and the support that they're giving and the prayer and et cetera. Help us, Lord, to have that constant awareness of the presence of you and our need for you in everything that we do. We do love you today. We do thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, brother.